Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the last half hour already of Gesundheit with Jacobus. Dr. Gary Stoner, my guest today. And my goodness, that was a phenomenal half hour there, Dr. Stoner. Thanks for explaining that. I mean, I really had to listen to understand it. I do hope that our listeners were able to understand it as well. But what a great explanation. Talk about dendritic cells and CAR T cells. C-A-R space T cell immunotherapy. So fascinating stuff. And the dendritic cells are almost, they tell our immune system, they're able to tell our immune system where the problem is and then take the immune cells there. They just latch on, so the immune cells have been strengthened somehow, injected with something, with the genetic material.
That's right.
And then they go there, and these antennas, so the on the surface of tumor cells, we have kind of antennas, pointy stuff, and somehow
they grab onto them.
They grab onto them, and they use that as a conductor to send the poison into the tumor cell to kill the tumor cell.
That's correct. Yes.
Wow. And the CAR T cell is a little bit different in that, right? It's not exactly the same.
The CAR T is interesting because it permits the honing of the lymphocytes to a specific site on cancer cells instead of non-specifically binding to other normal cells in the body and causing a lot of damage.
Correct.
So it's very important to be able to do targeted immunotherapy to reduce side effects. It has its own side effects, but they're usually not as severe as you get if you just randomly turn on the lymphocytes in the body, the T lymphocytes and natural killer cells, and then you can get a lot of toxicity. And the one way, you know, there are certain checkpoint inhibitors on T cells that stop them from growing, you can make antibodies against these inhibitors.
Okay.
The inhibitors are things like PD-1 and CTLA-4. These are molecules on the surface of the lymphocyte that keep them in check, their growth in check.
Okay.
So when you isolate lymphocytes from someone, a cancer patient, and you treat with these antibodies against these inhibitors, you activate those cells, stimulate them to grow, and so forth. You inject them in the patient. But when you isolate them, people where you've introduced an antigen in the lymphocytes, it can bind to specifically
that
to
antigen.
Sites on the tumor cell. So it's directed. You have a lot less toxicity than if you have just generalized increase in T lymphocytes, which can go in and cause a lot of damage to many tissues. So using checkpoint inhibitors by themselves can cause a lot of side effects.
Wow.
Just non-specific stimulation.
So when you talk about checkpoint inhibitors, this is the therapy that we're talking about right now. There's the CAR T cell immunotherapy and the dendritic cell immunotherapy. Those are these checkpoint.
The checkpoint inhibitors are molecules and on T lymphocytes that actually control their growth.
Okay.
So if you make antibodies against them,
I get it.
You release those checkpoints.
Yes.
And then the lymphocytes start rapidly proliferating.
Growing, and then we have a hyperstimulation of the immune system.
Hyperstimulation immune system. And if it's not directed towards a specific antigen on the tumor cell, then you have a lot of normal cell killing, and you can get a number of dangerous side effects.
Yes.
Like inflammation of the lung, pneumonitis. You can get chest pain, inflammation of the liver, inflammation of the colon, hormone and gland problems, inflammation in the brain.
Yes.
These are all side effects you can get by just turning on T lymphocytes without having them directed against specific site and tumor cells.
I see. Yes.
The thing I like about it is, say, CAR T therapy, is that you've introduced genetically a receptor on those cells that can bind specifically to a receptor on tumor cells.
Yes.
And kill them.
Yes.
And so it's directed. It's not generalized type of cell killing.
Okay. There is a person I know, and she had she has been suffering from. I want to understand if there's maybe a similarity here. She's had MS, decided to go out of the country, have a therapy done, whereby they first, when she got there, they extract her natural healthy stem cells,
mm-hmm.
they spin them and multiply them and clean them up. And then multiply them. Then they have that. Then they put her, do chemotherapy on her, completely killing her whole immune system. So there's nothing left to bring it back to zero.
Mm.
Then, you know, that is, you're pretty sick there for a few days.
This is with MS.
With MS, yeah, it was with MS. And then reintroduce the stem cells. So they have this whole space to grow, multiply, not have to deal with anything else. They just multiply, rebuild the immune system with healthy cells. And the prognosis is that you may see reversal, but definitely you should be able not to see advancing of the disease. Then I'm thinking, as you're talking, and I'm thinking about that story, when you look at the current cancer therapies, it is primarily chemo and radiation, whereby they say, we do the chemo radiation, but they're not doing anything to re-stimulate the immune system by saying, you know what, don't eat this food, don't do that food, stay away from sugar, food coloring. They pretty much say, We'll do the battling for you, and you can go home and eat whatever you want to eat. Mm. Now, many people feel sick anyway. They can't eat much. But you know what I'm saying. Once they start getting better, or once they say, we got the cancer under control, there is nothing done to stimulate the body to start re-entering something that is healthy. Now, in the lady's case, it was stem cells reintroduction to rebuild the immune system. But if you don't do that therapy, then you should at least tell people, listen, focus your diet on high antioxidants, the raspberry, black raspberry extract, for example, reintroduce high antioxidant food, stay away from processed foods, don't do the alcohol, don't do the sugar, don't do anything that could actually take you back to where you started, why you came to see us in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is why I feel we're missing something in cancer therapy in this country, because we are inundated with commercials about eating and drinking and smoking or do whatever you want to do, expecting that there will be a different outcome. Yeah. And it isn't. We keep society sick by not making drastic changes in the way people live. There is no coaching, no guidance from the medical profession about what people can do to actually overcome it and make sure it never happens again.
Yeah, I think that scenario is improving.
It is?
I think it is. I think more physicians nowadays, in medical schools, for example, have courses in nutrition, are trying to improve the knowledge of their students about foods that are potentially harmful and foods that are likely to be very helpful.
Okay.
Including foods that are immunostimulatory.
Yeah.
Things like mushroom extract, for example. The mushroom compounds are quite immunostimulatory. There are certain selenium is somewhat stimulatory. We found that black raspberries are actually immunostimulatory. By the way, we found that black raspberry extract in rodents actually enhanced the uptake of T lymphocytes and natural killer cells into the tumor.
Wow.
we had a reduction in the uptake of neutrophils and certain types of macrophages, which are known to be known to produce cytokines and chemokines that actually stimulate tumor development.
Okay,
those were impeded. We had never thought that neutrophils would be pro-tumorigenic, but in rodents that where you give high doses of neutrophils, you can show increased occurrence of lung cancer, for example, and other types, in part because of the production of these cytokines and chemokines that stimulate growth. There are cytokines and chemokines that are tumor inhibitory.
Oh, really?
One is interferon, for example.
Yeah.
Interferon, there are different types of interferon. Typically, it is useful for treating or killing viruses. Quite toxic. Can be quite toxic. But now we know that there are different types of interferon that kill different kinds of cancer cells.
Huh.
Another one are interleukins.
Yes.
Like IL-6 and others. These are proteins that also, chemokines and cytokines that actually inhibit the growth of cancer cells. And you can show in vitro that these
interleukins
are effective in killing cancer cells.
Wow.
So there are those that are growth promoting, and those are those that have the ability to stimulate cells to die. Usually through an apoptotic mechanism.
Boy, it is an ongoing research, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very complex.
It is really complex.
Yeah.
And that is why we can't find an answer yet.
Well, there won't be a singular answer. I think what's going to be the case with most cancers is that the treatment is going to be multiple.
Yeah.
But now I think with additional studies in immunotherapy for a long time involves simply taking T lymphocytes from cancer patients, growing them in vitro, and injecting them back into the patient.
Okay.
That all, because they weren't targeted, that led to a fair amount of toxicity. Plus, it was not very effective. And I think now that you can target, it's going to get better. It may not give you a lot of cures by itself.
I see.
It's too hard to say at this point. My guess is it won't be sufficient by itself. But I think along with standard chemotherapy against these cancers, it's going to give an increased survival rate, an increased treatment efficacy than we have right now.
So do you say that when the immunotherapy is going to work, in reality, we don't have to worry about changing anything else in our life. We don't have to change our lifestyle.
No,
we don't have to change our diet. So, what?
No, I'm not.
I know you're a proponent of antioxidants and healthy food.
I'm certainly a proponent of diet in preventing cancer.
Correct.
Reducing genetic damage by chemicals we're exposed to.
Yeah.
Reducing the growth rate of pre-malignant cells, stimulating them to die. Stimulating to re-differentiate, reducing new blood vessel formation, reducing inflammation, all of those things are protective. But I think it's also that the use of certain nutrients in the diet in conjunction with chemoradiotherapy plus immunotherapy,
yeah,
I think is a good thing. And they're beginning to do that now.
But if you don't... Yeah.
Adding nutritional agents to enhance immune response coupled with these other modalities of treatment.
But I think we need to.
Yes, we need to.
I mean, if you talk about nutrients as prevention, then I say we should have improved nutrients during therapy. You want to make sure that the therapy is not the only thing that can solve the problem. I'm talking to you about chemoradiation therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you need to find something in yourself that says, you know what, I'm going to have to change the way I live my life because whatever I've done got me to this point. Now, again, there will be people listening and say, I went to Vietnam. I was exposed to Agent Orange. That's why I have the cancer. Or what do you tell a two-year-old who has a brain tumor or who has a cancer, liver cancer, or kidney cancer, bladder cancer at that young an age? I understand all that, but don't compare yourself with everyone else. You need to look at your own life and say, what can I do today, starting today, to make sure I will not get such a devastating disorder like cancer? And I feel that too many people say, I don't want to give up my habits. I really like my life the way it's going. I just will take some kind of a therapy. There is a question that is being asked. Is there anyone in our area that can perform the procedures that you have described today?
Honestly, I don't know. I assume so.
There are people who use the dendritic cells.
Cancer Clinic here in Bozeman.
I don't know.
I don't know if they're doing CAR T therapy or not. I suspect that that's being done in Billings if it's not being done here, but I don't know.
So pretty much make a telephone call and find out.
Find out.
Okay. Sure. There's another question from a listener.
Most of that is still being done probably through studies that are supported by the National Cancer Institute, because this is still under
development.
I think there's only one CAR T therapy that's currently approved for routine cancer treatment by the FDA. So this is a
really
there. I think there are over 1,000 different studies ongoing involving the use of antibodies plus alone or antibodies plus chemotherapeutic drugs for cancer treatment. And the CAR T therapy is not quite as advanced as that by any means, but there are a number of CAR studies all ongoing. Most of these are still in the experimental stage. They're not approved yet by the FDA because they haven't been proven to have efficacy yet.
But it's so interesting.
I think it's going to be, that's going to happen, certainly with time.
Yeah, but when the AIDS epidemic happened.
Yes.
Within 3 weeks, we had some kind of a injection that people with AIDS could take, and it was rushed through the FDA. I forgot what the name was. Maybe you remember what it was, what that therapy was called for HIV or for AIDS. What was it called?
These are compounds that inhibit the growth of the virus itself.
Right, but you remember when that happened. All of a sudden, within a month or so, we had some kind of an injection, and everybody became subject and was injected with this with the hope that something would stick.
Yes.
And obviously, we still lost a lot of people. And why does the FDA not say, you know what, we got something very valid over here. Let's give more people a chance to start implementing it. Because how many times do we talk to cancer about cancer? And we're being told, well, there is an experimental research going on in Houston. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to fly to Houston and do that? And is that a legit therapy, or are you the guinea pig who is trying it out?
Well, you know, you have to be careful, because if you do the wrong thing, you could cause a lot of damaging effects.
Yeah, but chemo and radiation, Gary, have been approved for 50 years, and they still kill people.
Yes.
So it is not that it's 100% waterproof. It is just the therapy that has been accepted.
Yeah. But CAR T therapy is still in its infancy. And so it'll be a while before there will be a lot of CAR T cells therapy that you have to prove that it actually works. I'm saying that with leukemias, lymphomas at this point probably looks pretty good. Antibodies against leukemias, lymphomas look good.
Yeah,
but probably not going to be enough by itself. So that's why so many of these studies are ongoing using CAR T cells in conjunction with chemotherapy or radiotherapy, or usually chemo. And so until we get the results from those and the FDA approves it, we won't be able to do this routinely. I mean, we can't. You have to have FDA approval.
Yeah. I know I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it is a fact. It is a fact. It's how it works over here.
Yeah.
You know, even though, like I said, there are therapies that have been approved that have not shown to really work or have not, you know, we have prescription drugs on the market that have a list as long as your arm in side effects, but somehow they've been approved by the FDA, and sometimes you wonder, come on, you know, this looks very hopeful. Can we get more people involved in this and start using, you know, it doesn't, you don't want this to stay that long in vitro study. You really want to get this in vivo, right?
There's no question about that. I mean, there were a few, as you read back on the genesis of immunotherapy, there were some patients that were treated with checkpoint inhibitors, had significant side effects, or this or that, or patients that were treated even as long ago as with Cooley. Mm-hmm. You know, that were thinking that, gee, if we knew more, if we just knew more, if I can hang on a little bit longer,
yeah,
I might be able to survive.
Yes.
And that's obviously what we'd like to have. We'd like to have very rapid development of efficacious agents, but it just takes time.
It does take time, and I realize that.
And you have to be sure that they're reasonably tolerable and safe.
Right, and as you mentioned, these cancer cells, they can sometimes be so small, and some of them have antennas on the outside that are, you recognize them. I saw in one of the little videos that demonstrated how this works. Some of these cancer cells know they're being searched by the lymphocytes, and so they start growing a ton of antennas.
Yes.
So it is hard to pick one antenna and to really latch on.
Yeah.
And then some of them all of a sudden morph into a healthy-looking cell, so they're not being recognized by the immune system, and then they change again. Yeah. So this research, you wonder, what are these cancer cells? These are buggers.
They're very adaptable.
They're very adaptable.
They have all kinds of mechanisms which they become resistant to chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And even radiotherapy. So, one big advantage they have is their ability to get all of their necessary energy and grow under conditions where there's very little oxygen.
I see.
Essentially anaerobic conditions. And get the necessary energy from just burning up sugar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's a huge difference.
Right, and that is why I think some people are getting more and more involved in changing their diet. They go more to a ketogenic diet, whereby they eliminate the amount of sugars that they take in the body, thereby starving the cancer cells that way. It would be great to see more research on something like a ketogenic diet, and if people are willing to say, you know what, I'm going to switch what I do and try to do it from the inside out or the outside in, whatever you want to call it.
I suspect there have been studies on ketogenic diet in cancer patients, but I don't know them. So.
Yeah, very fascinating. I can't believe we've come to the end of the hour.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
3 hours so fast.
Wow. I highly recommend, folks, that you look up cancer immunotherapy, and then specifically for something called CAR T cell immunotherapy, that is spelled C-A-R, capital C-A-R, then space T dash cell therapy, and also something called dendritic cell therapy. Both of them very, very interesting, cutting edge right now. That is that's in the works right now. Dr. Stoner, thank you so much for being here
today. Thank you so much for inviting me, Jacobus. I always enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Folks,
a lot of fun.
We'll be back next week, Saturday, from 8 to 11. See you then.